First, we learned this morning of an armed robbery at the Speedway station at 1213 MLK Boulevard. Police say two men robbed the convenience store around 5:30 this morning. No injuries were reported, and there's no other information available about the suspects at this time. If you have any information, police would love to hear from you on this one. And you can keep yourself updated by checking the news article on chapelboro.com. Also on MLK, last night there was a pedestrian fatality. 77-year-old John Holman of Chapel Hill was killed when he was struck by a vehicle near the entrance to the Chapel Hill North Shopping Center. Happened around 9:40 last night. Police say the driver of the vehicle stayed on the scene, and an investigation is ongoing. In state news, tomorrow there is a big rally against abortion restrictions. It'll be held in downtown Raleigh. Governor Roy Cooper is set to attend and use the event as a chance to veto the bill created by Republican lawmakers. That bill would force North Carolinians to have full-term birth after 12 weeks of pregnancy. Much of the criticism around the bill is the lack of input from medical professionals, both in terms of its potential impact on citizens, but also in its language. Jolynn Dellinger is a lecturer at Duke's Law School who recently joined a university panel of medical experts to talk about the approved bill. She examined the measure's language and said it reflects the lack of input from women's health or medical professionals on its lack of clarity alone. One example Dellinger pointed out was how a, quote, medical emergency was phrased in the bill but never clearly defined.
Just in terms of clarity, a medical emergency definition in this bill says a condition which, comma, in reasonable medical judgment, comma, so complicates the medical condition, et cetera. That's really wiggly, right? And I would like to just throw out that if North Carolina legislators trusted doctors and trusted women, the language could be different. The language could say any decision about a medical emergency could be entrusted to the medical judgment of the treating physician using an evidence-based standard of care, entrusted to the judgment of the physician. Full stop, we're done there. That's something that they could try to do as opposed to putting language in there that allows them the opportunity to second guess at a later time, perhaps in a prosecution, whether or not it was reasonable medical judgment to that extent.
That's Duke Law School's Jolynn Dellinger speaking there. More comments from that panel on North Carolina's latest abortion bill can be found on chapelboro.com. Among the other bills moving through the General Assembly are several that specifically target transgender kids, including some that banned gender-affirming care, others that ban trans girls from competing in women's sports, and one that would require teachers to out transgender students to their parents with or without their consent. Both the State House and the Senate have approved various bills, though none have become law yet, and LGBTQ advocacy groups are working to keep it that way. Eleazar Posada is on the Carrboro Town Council. He's also the organizing director for Equity NC. He spoke with 97.9 The Hill about the impact these bills have on trans kids and sometimes life or death importance of gender-affirming care.
We see high suicide ideology within trans kids. Specifically after some of these bills are introduced, like there's been several studies done where they're tracking LGBTQ youth, primarily transgender youth, where when bills like these are introduced, it just gives them another sense of you're not welcome. And we're hearing the stories, right? We're hearing parents who are talking about the journey with their young person about self-identifying, about finding who they are and then having the bravery to tell their parents and then tell the world. And then finding care that it can be hormone replacement care, it can be other things. And sometimes it's just simply having a conversation with a mental health professional and identifying that you are transgender and switching the shirt you wear, switching the kind of clothes you have. That has been life-saving for a lot of young people, and really that does not get said enough in the General Assembly. Gender-affirming care is life-saving for many of these kids.
Eleazar Posada speaking there. You can find that full conversation in the news, in the This Morning with Aaron Keck section of chapelboro.com. Reminder that Sunday is commencement for UNC. It's going to get started at 9 a.m. at Keenan Stadium. This year's speaker is civil rights attorney Brian Stevenson. You can find full details on the schedule and parking options in the news article on chapelboro.com. Also wanted to give you a heads up about something happening on Monday. Chapel Hill Fire Department is planning a live burn on Monday between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. So if you happen to be in the area of I-40 and 15501, you may see and or smell smoke that day. If you're sensitive to smoke, the fire department urges you to stay inside or avoid the area if possible. And this is a rare training opportunity that gives the firefighters a chance to experience live fire conditions similar to what they'll face when they go to fight structure fires. Since the pandemic, the mental health of students and teachers has been an increased area of focus. And on Monday, the Orange County Schools Board of Education met to talk about mental health in elementary and high schools in the district. This year, Orange County Schools implemented a survey that gathers data about the mental wellness of students. And 97.9 The Hill's Sierra Pfeiffer has more.
The school district has administered the Mental Health Wellness Survey three times to students throughout the year in order to tailor their educational efforts to students' needs. Fifth grade teacher Angela Breeze says the New Hope Elementary School Improvement Team has used the data from the survey to make their students more comfortable.
When we looked at our beginning and middle of the year data for our school, we saw an improvement compared especially to last year's data for how our students are feeling in our building. And I know my fifth grade students, all 28 of them have completed this final one, and they have taken it seriously. Many of them have called me over and asked me, what exactly is this question asking? And I've reworded it or tried to give them an example, and then they're like, oh, okay, I got it.
According to the survey, 85% of students in grades 3 through 5 responded favorably that they, quote, have a teacher or other adult in school who they can count on to help. 92% of students responded favorably to the same question about an adult outside of school. Only 43%, however, responded favorably to a question about being able to pull themselves out of a bad mood. 6th through 12th grade students were asked the same questions, with 93% of students responding favorably that they have an adult outside of school that they can count on. 78% agreed that they did not hear many hurtful comments about students based on race, gender, sexual orientation, religion, or disabilities from adults in their school. Still, only 48% responded favorably to the same question about hurtful comments from other students. Along with the survey, Orange County Schools started using a targeted social and emotional learning program called Rethink Ed. Bree said that her students have been highly engaged with the Rethink Ed lessons they have done in class so far about breathing exercises or topics like how to deal with rumors and gossip.
For us, it has been a beneficial program. Many people know that we have a lot of SEL, social emotional needs at New Hope, and I believe this has given us an avenue to reach those needs and to provide some consistency and security for our students.
Mental health case manager coordinator Daniel Kearns Pickett commented on the necessity of having programs and systems like the survey and Rethink Ed in place.
The goal is to be proactive and not reactive. I think that since the pandemic has happened, a lot of attention in our nation has been on mental health and making it a priority. So I want to ensure that we stay ahead of that and ensure that we are taking care of our staff and showing that we do appreciate them and we are here to put systems in place to support them.
In the past 4 months, he has also implemented new resources for teachers and staff, like monthly wellness tips, trainings and workshops, and mindfulness activities. As the presentation finished up, board member Sarah Smiley thanked the presenting district staff and reiterated how important mental health in schools is to her.
I think you all are doing really essential, important work, and it is really exciting to see all of the progress just even from a year ago in this sort of attention to students' well-being and teacher well-being too. Just love it, love it, love it, love it.
The Orange County School District plans to continue using data from the survey to prepare for the upcoming school year. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Sierra Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Sierra. You can find a print version of that story by visiting chapelboro.com. Also, welcome to the team, Sierra Pfeiffer. That's the first story she's filed for 97.9 The Hill and chapelboro.com. But you can expect to see her work much more coming up in the next several months. Time now to talk sports, and we will start our sports conversation with some particularly good news. And that is a final score from women's lacrosse in their opening round of the NCAA tournament. That final score is UNC 16, Sacred Heart 5. It's actually a little bit close early. It was, I believe, 5-3 at one point when I first checked the score. But the Tar Heels opened it up for a 16-5 win. And that is, now that that game's wrapped up, Dorrance Field hosts another first-round matchup between Richmond and Marquette. Whoever wins that game will face UNC on Sunday in round two. Also got UNC's top-ranked women's tennis team hosting number 16 seed Florida. We're going to get started at the Tuning Tennis Center at 5 o'clock, so we'll get you some results if we get any before the end of the show. It's the NCAA Super Regional site with a spot in the quarterfinals on the line. Men's tennis team actually plays tomorrow in the Super Regional, but they are being hosted at Texas. Let's talk baseball now for just a minute. Dramatic win for baseball. The Diamond Heels last night, they got a 9-8 win over NC State in walk-off fashion. And what a walk-off it was. Wolfpack scored a bunch early, got a big lead. They were leading by 3, headed into the 8th. But the Heels scored 2 in the 8th and then got 2 more in the 9th to tie it and then take the win. And the winning run came on a squeeze play by Colby Wilkerson. Eric Grentz at 3rd raced in to score. Here's Mr. Dave Nathan on the call.
Runner takes off from 3rd. French comes in to score. Colby Wilkerson, he wins this game. And the Tar Heels won't just walk off. They're running off winners 9-8, beating NC State in Chapel Hill.
Big win for the Diamond Heels. They're going to do it again tonight at 7, and then the series will wrap up at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Both games sold out at the Bosch, but you can listen to it right here on 97.9 The Hill, your flagship station for Tar Heel sports. One other minor note, Heels will be slightly shorthanded the next few games. Several players are being asked to serve one-game suspensions for a little dust-up and shouting match around the 7th inning of Tuesday's game against Gardner-Webb. Those suspensions coming down from the NCAA, but they will be able to stagger those so they don't have too many folks out for one game. Also got word from UNC softball. Their season came to an end last night. 2-1 loss to Clemson in the ACC quarterfinals. And Carolina finishes with a record of 26-28, but finished strong, a pretty positive end to the season. They got hot late and made it interesting. Also learned from the golf squad, UNC sophomore David Ford just became the first Tar Heel ever to win ACC Men's Golfer of the Year. He's also the first sophomore to win that honor since 2010. Congratulations to him. Other honors for the golf team, all ACC team, of course, Ford made that. And he's joined by teammates Austin Greaser, Ryan Burnett, and Dylan Minetti. Head coach Andrew DiBattista was named ACC Coach of the Year, and that's 2 years in a row that he's taken home that honor. Congratulations to the men's golf team there. Also learned late yesterday from Inside Carolina that DeMarco Dunn is heading into the transfer portal, making him the 7th Tar Heel from the men's team to enter the portal this year. Dunn saw a pretty dramatic increase in minutes from his freshman to sophomore year and looked to be on the rise. The silver lining here is our own Art Chansky suggests that Dunn may consider the portal to keep his options open just in case incoming 2024 Tar Heel Elliot Cadeau decides to reclassify as a freshman and join the team next year. That would significantly eat into Dunn's minutes, presumably. So if that doesn't happen and Cadeau decides to stay in the class of 2024, it seems possible that Dunn may return to Carolina and suit up for the team next year. Looking to the pro ranks, first the bad news. Bulls took yet another loss last night, 9-7 at Charlotte. They'll do it again tonight, first pitch at 7. The good news, in hockey, the Hurricanes are through to the Eastern Conference Finals. They closed out New Jersey 3-2 in overtime last night. Pretty dominant performance overall, taking the series 4-1. Jesper Fast with the game winner in overtime. Canes now await the winner of Florida-Toronto with the Panthers up 3-1. Editorial here, go Leafs. Game 5 tonight on that one.